want to share some thoughts with you this morning that I kind of felt were confirmed in our worship time this morning. You know, we've all been, we know what it is to be through storms in the natural. I don't know if anybody's been watching some of the news of Hurricane Michael that flew through the panhandle down in Florida. Anybody see some of that incredible devastation? Just one town, it just looked like an atomic blast went off and leveled everything, and thousands of people homeless and have lost everything. Storms can be, incredibly powerful. And I don't know what kind of storms you have out here, if you have snowstorms or wind storms or ice storms or what you get here in Edmonton, Alberta. But I know where we are, we get pretty heavy snow, wet snow, the kind of stuff you don't want to deal with. And because we're surrounded by those great lakes. And we get a lot of storms. And we also get ice storms. And, ice storms can shut things down for us for quite a while. And sometimes powerful storms take a long time to clean up the aftermath. And storms of life are the equivalent of storms in the natural. You know, we all, whether we like it or not, storms can bring fear. They savagely uproot things that have been planted, and they bring a lot of pressure to bear on our lives when we're going through spiritual storms. And so today, I want to share some thoughts with you. How do we navigate our way through the storms of life? And what do I need to understand about the storms of life or spiritual storms that occur? And why do storms come? Does God send storms into my life? Or is he punishing me? Am I being punished by God because there's some kind of a storm or something's gone wrong or awry or there's some type of reversal? Well, number one, storms are seasonal. We find there's certain kinds of storms in certain kind of season. And storms are seasonal. They're the things that are going to happen. They should not be defining your existence. They come in seasons. If you're living all the time in a storm, there's probably something you need to kind of, seek the Lord about and find out why that's happening. But just like some climates and geographical areas are prone to more intense storm activity, for example, the Caribbean, a friend of mine once said, I don't know where I'd rather live. People say I'd love to live down on some Caribbean island, but they get hurricanes that come through and absolutely destroy everything. One time I was in the Barbados and they had not had, and I was in the fall, so I don't usually go there in the fall because of hurricanes. You could book everything and then find out some hurricanes blowing through and you have to cancel everything. So I was down there doing ministry, believe it or not, and they had not had a hurricane in 32 years. So they were due. And which kind of concerned me, but they haven't had one since, and it's probably now about 42 years or close to that they have not had a direct hit from a hurricane in the Barbados. But all around them, a lot of islands have been hit, destroyed. As you know, even last year, Puerto Rico and some of the other islands there were just really, really heavily devastated. And a friend of mine was saying, well, people talk about living on a Caribbean island, but a hurricane hits and just wipes out everything, or you can live in a place like Canada and you have storms all the time, but they just, you deal with them. And, some people may lose their life on ice, on the road or shoveling snow and they have a heart attack or something like that. But it's either you get little bits or you get this massive thing, And so you can live, you can occupy a spiritual zone that is maybe more prone to intense storms and volatility. You may be occupying a space that is really contested by the enemy, and he's just trying to throw a lot at you. And I think we need to understand that storms are seasonal, and the good news is that they will not come in every season, nor will they last forever. They're seasonal. So they do come. And there's nothing you can do to prevent them from coming, but they don't last forever. And I don't know about you, but I'm glad about that. Number two, storms are sure to come. If you haven't experienced a storm lately, don't worry. There's one on its way. You know, Jesus declared that the important issue about storms is where you build your life. It's where you build your house. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24, Jesus said, "Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock, and the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house. And it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock." So it's really about building site, isn't it? Then he says, he contrasts that, and he says, "But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them, doesn't put into action, like James says, doesn't become a doer of the word, but a hearer only." He says, if you only hear my sayings, you know, maybe you come to church, you hear all kinds of sermons, and, you know, it's almost like we become experts at evaluating sermons. We're not really thinking about applying them. We just say, "Oh, that was a good word, eh? Yeah, that was a good word, brother. Amen." People come up to me and say, "Pastor, that was a good word." And sometimes I feel, I smile, thank you. I feel like saying, "As opposed to what?" You know, I mean, I was preaching the Bible. What are we talking about here? It was a good word. So is this some form of entertainment? I hope not. But the scripture says, a foolish man heard the words, didn't do them, and therefore Jesus said he was building his house on sand. And the rain descended. Same thing. Rain descended, floods came, winds blew, beat on that house, and it fell. And great was its fall. So building on rock implies that you're obedient. It implies that you are taking the words of Jesus. You're not just having devotions. You are devoted. You're not just reading the word, you're applying the word. Thank you for that underwhelming response. So we want to be careful to order our life so it reflects a careful adherence to instruction of God's word. Jesus said, hearing and doing is solid rock living. Hearing and doing is solid rock living. And so if you build on your rock, or if you build on sand, you know, the interesting thing is that Jesus points out that regardless of where you build, whether you build on rock or sand, there's no storm-free zone. Some people think that the gospel is a storm-free zone. You know, if I believe in Jesus, I'll have less storms in my life. Well, I got news for you. You might have more. Because you might be occupying a contested zone, a spiritually intense zone where there's maybe a little bit more warfare. And so, you know, sometimes it's just easier to roll downstream. You're not going into the wind. You're not facing opposition. How many know spiritual warfare 101 is that when you become a Christian, the enemy has painted a target on your back? And so there's going to be things, resistance and things like that. The great thing is that Jesus said that he would be with us. And if we build on solid rock, that we are going to be able to withstand the pressure of those storms because we've got a firm foundation. And Jesus just didn't offer the third option. There was just no storm-free option. You know, regardless what you do, whether you follow Jesus or don't follow Jesus, there's going to be storms. The only question is the outcome. If you build on rock, your house will stand. Number three, storms are violent. You know, in Asia, you know, they have these massive typhoons. Of course, in the Atlantic, we have these powerful hurricanes that we've just seen demonstrated so graphically down in Florida. There's other places that have monsoon rains and villages are swept away, and some places are susceptible to great earthquakes and tornadoes and massive electrical storms, blizzards, ice storms. I mean, we live in a world of storms. There's storms in every climate, every region, everywhere you go in the world, there's some type of storm. I recall back in 1998, what became known as the North American Ice Storm of 98. It was a massive combination of five successive ice storms that came in from the Atlantic up the St. Lawrence River and right up to about Cornwall, Ontario, Cornwall, Ontario, which is about 1 hour west of Montreal. And the entire area the temperature was just perfect for ice. So this precipitation came down and the ice covered everything. I'm talking inches and inches of ice. 5 storms over 3 weeks. And these storms were lasting days at a time. And so the ice was just getting thicker and thicker and thicker and thicker. Trees were coming down. Bushes were coming down. Highways were completely shut down. You could not move. I heard of one guy, a friend of mine pastored a church in Cornwall, and he said after the storm, he had one guy who was living out in the country, and all the telecommunications were shut down. He had no internet for 3 weeks. He had no electricity. And so it was like all of a sudden you're faced with life without everything that you're used to every day. And locked in your house, you couldn't go anywhere. You couldn't get gasoline. The gas stations were shut down. You couldn't drive the roads because they were inches thick with ice. It was crazy. And this guy almost lost it. He said, I was within inches of just losing my mind. I could not deal with it because I'd never, ever had to face something like that before. And he just said, you know, thank God for prayer and just, you know, calling on God to help me because I was just kind of losing it out there. And it was an incredible storm. Shut down large cities like Montreal. The grid had to be completely rebuilt after the storm, the electrical grid. In fact, the Montreal hospital was being held by one generator. It was down to one generator that they did not know if it would be able to keep up with the demand. And it was just, you know, it was that even for emergency situations, they thought they were going to lose the hospital and there would be nothing to keep even lights on. So interestingly enough, that storm released the largest deployment of Canadian troops since the Korean War. All 15 of them were there. But we need to understand that there are forces at work in our lives that seek to work our ruin, seek to overthrow our faith, seek to deplete our strength, flood us with worry, keep us in anxiety, wear us down, and cause us to kind of capitulate, to compromise. And so when we are building on rock, we're standing firm in the storm. But there's another strategy that I want to just share with you this morning about storms, because I believe that there's a place where we can actually live above the storm. Yeah. You know, in Matthew chapter 8, verse 23, Jesus says when he got into a boat, his disciples followed him, and suddenly a great tempest arose. So this was not just, you know, high winds. This was a great tempest. This was serious stuff. And they're out in the sea, and the boat was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. And then his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us. We are perishing. To me, it's incredibly interesting the response that Jesus has. And he said to them, why are you fearful? Oh, you of little faith. Think about it for a moment. Some of you here this morning are facing storms. You're in the middle of a storm. You're maybe fighting for your faith. You're fighting to contend and just be able to stand. Or you've been through some stuff in life that, you know, things that have been thrown at you. And maybe you're fearful. Maybe it has taken advantage of you. Maybe it's gotten the better of you. And you're not really spiritually where you should be because this storm has thrown you off kilter. The disciples were fearful. They were fearful for their lives. They thought, this is it. We are going to perish here. And so they roused Jesus out of his sleep. And his response is, why are you fearful, oh, you of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. So the men marveled, saying, who can this be, even that the winds and the sea obey him? Well, when Jesus got into this boat, I like to think that he was kind of leading his people into a prophetic crisis. It's like there's times and places where God knows where he's taking you, and he knows he's taking you out into deep water. He knows he's taking you someplace where it's going to require a greater level of faith for you to actually navigate the place where he's taking you. And he has advanced knowledge. He knew where he was taking the disciples. There was no surprise here to him, but he was taking them out and exposing them to danger, knowing and watching to see how they would respond. Suddenly, I want to tell you, it's a serious storm when veteran fishermen are fearing for their lives. When guys like Peter are just beside themselves with fear, you know that you are in a pretty serious storm. And the whole thing that this wind and wave and water is literally filling the boat, and they get to a point where they really think they're perishing. How many know that if Jesus is asleep in your boat, you're okay? If Jesus is in your boat, you're okay. But I imagine that they had such awe and respect for Jesus that they were literally afraid of waking him. You know, they were afraid of going over and kind of giving him a shake, because it's like, Jesus is the master, is sleeping. How do you sleep when you're in the midst of a storm like that? How do you sleep in the midst of a powerful tempest where these guys are terrified? Well, you learn to live above the storm. That's the bottom line. You learn to live above the storm. And so everything that Jesus took them into, he knew that they would either react out of their natural inclinations, or they would have to reach deep into another level of faith. And I think that sometimes we are going someplace and we're walking with God, and suddenly things arise in our life, and there's one of two responses. We either have to reach deep, and we have to take hold of faith, and we have to seek God and reach deeper and get a hold of him in a new way, or we are going to be overrun by our own feelings, our own perspectives, that in the storm, we're seeing, feeling, sensing storm. And so it begs the question that, what kind of a question is it to ask a boat full of fishermen who are in the midst of this kind of storm, if they're terrified? It's a question that people who live above storms ask those who don't. When you live above the storm, you can say to someone, "Why are you afraid?" And people who are subject to only live within the senses of their mind and their own heart, and their own, living in our own resources causes us to fear things that God says we shouldn't fear. Causes us to be troubled about things because we're not living above the storm. We're not seeing him. Our eyes somehow have been moved from him, if they were ever really truly fixed on him. The writer of Hebrews tells us to fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, because he knows that we are going to face things that are going to try to orient us right back down to earthly living. That we might as well not even be Christians. We're almost like, on a practical level, living like atheists. We're responding in our own mind and our own resources to stimulus and things that are happening, rather than saying, look, stopping and saying, what I need to do is get a hold of God. What I need to do is see his perspective. What I need to do is get the mind of Christ and get my eyes off of everything that's happening and get before him. Obviously we flew here this week, and when we were leaving Toronto, it was very blustery. It was windy. And, taxiing down the runway, you get airborne, and all of a sudden you feel this, the pilot comes on and says, "Well, we're going to have a little bit of turbulence today. Nothing too serious." And you always realize that he's mitigating whatever is really going to happen. And actually, it wasn't too bad. But you know, as you're taking off and you're airborne, this thing is going side to side. There's a few bumps, and you know, and you're in that pocket of between cloud and earth, and there's turbulence. And this thing is fighting to get up, and it's being blown about, and you're feeling all that. And then sometimes when you hit the cloud, it even gets a little more bumpy for a while, because those clouds are moving fairly quickly, and that plane starts jittering. And then all of a sudden, you break through the cloud cover, and you are in perfect stillness. It's where it was dark and rainy and wet, now there's nothing but sunshine. It's clear. That plane just begins to sail through, and you're just, man, you're living above the storm. And that's the picture, you know. Faith is designed to take us above the storm. It's designed to move us into a place where, the storm hasn't left, but our perspective and where our heart and mind is set is above. A little faith is greater than a lot of storm. You know, fear and faith can coexist, but one will always eventually win over. You can have faith and still have experience fear, but one of them will definitely dominate ultimately. Either your faith will capitulate, or your fear will capitulate, because you keep stirring your faith and you keep moving in faith. And as we're singing this morning, faith keeps rising in you. Amen? And that's where we want to be. We want to be in that place. And so what we need to understand is that if you're going through a storm, it's not because you do not have enough faith. I want to be clear that that is emphatically what I'm not saying today. I'm not saying that if you go through storms, it's because you don't have enough faith. You know, Jesus said very clearly, storms are coming. We're all going to experience them. The question is, what are we, how are we acting within those storms? How are we, are they moving us away from our hope and our faith? Are they moving us away from our perspective of solid rock living? And so Jesus, again, you know, he says we're going to encounter them, but they don't have to dictate our responses within the storm. A little faith is greater than a lot of storm. And so, the other thing about storms is it doesn't require a lot of faith. It just requires the faith that you already have to be fully activated, fully focused, and alive. It's like you already have enough faith. God has already given you faith for everything that you're going to face in life. He's already released faith into your heart. It's actually a fruit of the Holy Spirit. You have faith, and you have growing faith if you're fellowshipping with the Spirit, walking in the Spirit. Faith is one of those fruit that are growing within you, and there's faith to overcome. There's faith to be strong. There's faith to rise above the storm and live above the storm. There is faith for that. It's really a choice of our will. Are we going to be miserable in the storm, and are we going to show that everybody we're going through a storm? Just look at my face. Or are we going to say, you know what? Regardless of whatever happened or whom you might want to blame, I would be in a storm anyway. Because life is full of storms. Storms are going to come. So why don't I just understand that God allows storms because he wants to teach us how to live above them. Maybe once we learn to live above them, we'll see the storm pass. A little faith is greater than a lot of storm. If the storm is tormenting you, and if you're overcome by fear and terror, the storm is winning. And if you can withstand the storm and stand your ground, declaring that you are in Christ and you are not going to fear, you're not going to be dismayed, your God is with you, your God is helping you, then your faith is intact. And ultimately, you're going to see that every storm literally becomes a faith builder. You know, we go from strength to strength. We go from glory to glory. We go from faith to faith. So our faith was never designed to be static. When Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ because it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes, therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. In other words, the whole purpose is that we buy in at the gospel. Maybe we just have that measure of faith that God has dealt to us, and we have enough faith to believe Jesus for salvation. We have enough faith to believe that Jesus Christ died for our sins. We have enough belief to know that Jesus is merciful and compassionate. He took my place on the cross. I believe that, and I have enough faith to believe for the forgiveness of sins and that Jesus will save me. How many know that's good faith? That's a great exercise of faith. But once God gives you faith and you believe, He wants to take you from faith to faith. And so now He's going to work with you. He's the author and the completer. He's the author and the perfecter of your faith. He's not going to leave you in that level of faith. He's going to take you from faith to faith. And sometimes, and in most cases, storms become faith builders. As I look back at my life, I see a lot of storms that I went through. I've gone through trials and fiery trials and tests and temptations and storms and things just going wrong. And you know, in ministry, I know your pastors they're not newbies, they're veteran leaders, and they could probably tell you some stories about some great storms that they have had to endure and go through to be where, to occupy what space they now occupy in faith. But I want to tell you that those storms become faith builders. They're designed to build your faith. So remember that a little faith is greater than a lot of storm. Amen.